Welcome to People to People, soon to be Basic Gospel. We're here every day at this time to bring the basic gospel into your life. It's relevant, personal, and essential. Hello, everybody, with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper and a very special guest. My name is Bob Davis. Our purpose each day is to provide scriptural answers to your personal issues and Bible questions. This is where the basic gospel intersects with your daily life. Hear it, believe it, live it. Right now, time for your calls at 1-800-677-9377. That's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377. Call now. And now with our special guest, here is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We do have a special guest on today's broadcast, John Andrews, the outlaw preacher. Welcome. We are so glad to have you with us today. John is a friend of the ministry, has been to a number of our conferences over the last number of years. He has written a couple of books under the title Outlaw Preacher. I think that was book one. And then The Miracle was book two. So we are glad to have you. And this is a way, these books are a way for you to teach the grace of God into a group of people that you grew up with. John, tell us a little bit about yourselves, how you came to know the Lord, and how this ministry that you know now have through these books took off.
Well, I came out of a drug and alcohol background, not a good prerequisite for anything, but the Lord used it 21 years now. Recently, I've asked the question, and I blame you guys.
Well, thank you.
What can I do? You know, what can I do to communicate this new covenant message? And I think a lot of people feel the same way. It's a frustrating deal being one person. What do I do? You know, I can't have an impact. And this story of the outlaw preacher was just bouncing around in my head for a while. And I put it to paper, started writing every day. And after a few months, I had a book. And you know, the digital age has made that a lot easier. We're able to self-publish ebooks, websites, and I just took that challenge on. I love to write, and I think the story, it kind of allows me to answer the tough questions of life through contemporary storytelling.
Yes. Well, tell us a little bit about the book itself. What is the story? It's a fascinating read. It's a fast read, one of those page turners. But set it up for us. Let our listeners know a little bit about what this book is and what's your purpose. I mean, what are you trying to communicate through this story?
Okay. Well, I've been in the Southern California biker scene for 20 years. Interestingly enough, all 20 as a born again Christian. I met some Christian bikers. That was my first surprise. I had no idea that you could ride a Harley and look like that and still love the Lord, so it was great news. And I've been riding for 20 years, as I said, with these guys. We're in a confederation of clubs in Southern California. There's about 60 clubs, not all of them Christian. In fact, 80% of them are, you know, outlaw clubs. And consequently, I have acquaintances on both sides of the aisle.
When you say outlaw club, exactly what does that mean?
Well, they're referred to as one percenters. I think the American Motorcycle Association once said that 99% of the motorcycle riders are really good people. So these guys grabbed onto that 1% and said, well, that's us. It's all the clubs that we've read about over the years. They're alive and well, if you will. But my riding, if you will, with Christian clubs allows me to interact with these guys all the time. And we're in the same circles. And I just thought that probably the easiest thing for me to do is write about something I know about. And the character, the main character of the outlaw preacher, is a former outlaw biker who found himself 3 years in Folsom Prison and used that time for Bible study. After a chaplain got a hold of him inside. And basically when he's released, he's still an outlaw, but he's a brand new Christian, and he has no idea what to do with this. So the story starts with him walking out the gates of Folsom Prison and starting his new life down in Southern California as a preacher without a church, without a flock, and it's the adventure from that point.
Yeah, so he's just wondering, what do I do now?
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think that's what happens with a lot of us as far as our Christian life is concerned. We come to Christ, we, you know, some may get baptized or whatever, and, you know, there's this start, and you step back and say, well, what's next? What's next? And I think that sometimes is the very thing that gets us in trouble,
yeah,
because we start asking, Lord, what do you want me to do?
Right.
You know, what am I supposed to be doing for you?
Yep.
And so we start with that question, straying away from the very thing that saved us.
Exactly.
So it becomes not a story about Jesus, but a story about us.
Yep.
And so I think for new believers, when you ask that question, what do I do next? I think the answer has to be, get to know the Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, really find out what he's accomplished for you through his death, burial, and resurrection. And once you can answer that question, then I think what to do is going to flow from that.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you have a chance to really kind of talk about that in this story, don't you?
Yeah. And the outlaw preacher, as it were, has about a year to get that and be able to communicate now to his friends, former acquaintances, and what we term conversational evangelism. A lot of these questions that the world has about the Bible, about Christ, are answered and dealt with in this story over dinners, at the bike shop, over oil changes, real life. And what we're able to do with the story is communicate this gospel, communicate this great news in a way that's not preachy, although that's all I'm doing. I mean, throughout the story, the character is preaching away, but it's subliminal.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Our special guest today is John Andrews. He's written a book or a couple of books under the Outlaw Preacher brand. If you would like to find out more information about his particular books, check out his website, theoutlawpreacher.com. Theoutlawpreacher.com. All the information about John is right there. A preview of the books, a way to purchase the books. You even have a line of clothing, don't you?
Yeah, there's some Outlaw Preacher gear on there for everybody.
You don't look like a fashion guy, but you
design. that's why we've chosen radio.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
But, yeah, it's great. There's a lot of free chapters on the website. So if anybody wants to go check it out, they can read several chapters of each book and then make their decision that they want to proceed with the purchase. But theoutlawpreacher.com has all that on there. So.
Well, let me ask you this. You've been involved with these riding clubs, these biker clubs, and obviously you've had numerous conversations with people within that realm. What are some of the questions they ask when you start talking about Jesus and you start telling them about this good news? What are some of the things that they are asking, they're wondering about, they're throwing up in your face?
I think they all went to church with Richard years ago. I'm absolutely serious.
Thank
because
you so much.
A lot of the guys have the same thinking of God, who God is, that he's somebody who's upset all the time, and these guys are just like the rest of us, rebellious, and they want to know. What do they have to do? It's all about do. What am I going to do? What do I have to do? What can't I do? What are the list of rules? Give me, you know, so you can black and white. So that opens a door, you know, wide for our message, the new covenant message. And it works. I've got some one percenters that are clamoring for book three.
Yeah.
I'm serious. They read them. They've liked them. And I'm writing feverishly because I'm scared of them. I get this book out. They know where I live.
They've asked for it. You better get it to them.
Yeah.
Huh? Oh, man, that's funny.
So
that's,
it's neat. You never know where these are going to fall. My biggest demographic is ladies over 40.
Hmm.
You know, who knew? But the story, it's
resonates.
Yeah.
They
might have somebody in their lives, you know, that this thing accidentally gets left out on a lot of coffee tables. So.
There's something that you've done in both of the books that really fascinated me, and I'd like to hear a little more about it. You spend a lot of time with your hero having conversations in his head with God. About this, what's next, and why do I still fail, and all of the normal things Christians go through. I found it fascinating because it's so honest.
Thank you.
How did you hit on that idea to have those kind of conversations?
Well, my wife will tell you that this guy is really me, so it's easy to write that stuff when I also think that way at times. And, you know, if we're all honest, you know, it's easy to praise the Lord on great days, and sometimes when things are rough, you know, it gets a little lonely.
Yeah, we do have this running conversation, you know, happens daily with God.
Yeah.
You know, why did you let this happen? Or what's going on here? Or what am I supposed to think? Or what am I supposed to do? And all of those questions, man, just race through these minds of ours. And you never know when they're just going to pop up and, you know, you need to deal with them. But
That's the feedback I'm getting from the readers is very much like that.
Well, I appreciate the honesty, because there's people like us who sit behind these microphones all the time. Sometimes people get the idea wrongly that we've got all the answers. We never have questions. That's not true. We actually do go through this just like everybody else. Yeah. And the fact that we know Jesus is a blessing. And we get a chance to share him, but we all have questions. We all doubt sometimes. We all mess up sometimes, too often, actually. But being honest is so critical.
I think it's important that people, especially new believers, would understand that, you know, life goes on. We're saved. We have the Lord. The adventure's just begun, and it's okay to think that way. It's okay to have questions. Ask Thomas. I mean, you know. He was right there.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, you brought up something a minute ago. There's these clubs, and there's this sense of belonging in these clubs. Do you find a legalistic mindset, of course, as far as how they think about God, but within the club itself, you know, don't you have to do some things to get to that point where you feel like you belong?
It's very structured.
You've earned your way into it.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's one of these things. We think legalism is just in churches, you know, or just a religious thing. But legalism is a human tendency.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter where you are. You're going to find it in all realms of life, in the biker world, in gangs, in religious circles, in, you know, social circles, even within an atheistic community. Who doesn't believe God exists, legalism is still there. There are rules and regulations that you have to follow to be accepted, to be one of the ones in that particular group. And I bet you see that just up close and personal all the time as you deal with this.
Everybody wants a job description.
Yes.
Everybody wants to know what to do. And they like to be told what to do. You know, I'm not that way, but. Everybody loves
maybe
it.
Maybe that's why preachers got into preaching, so that
they could tell people what to do. And drop your money in the bucket on the way out. I mean, it's a lot easier when it's structured like that.
Yeah, it really is. There's something comfortable about the structure, isn't there?
Yeah.
That's why this freedom in Christ just scares,
terrifying.
scares the weebie jeebies right out of people. You know, what am I going to do? You know, we've said this time and time again, but when you know, the wall of communism fell and, you know, freedom was supposed to be there. You know, the folks over there didn't know what to do. I mean, they'd never experienced that type of freedom before. And you have to ask the question, now what? And a lot of those folks wanted to go back to the way it was. I mean, the same with the people of Israel, wasn't it? Once they found freedom from Egyptian rule and control, they didn't know how to live. And they grumbled and they griped and they complained. And Moses, take us back. I mean, take us back to where we were. We were comfortable. I mean, they told us when to get up, when to go to bed. They told us what to eat, what to do during the day. And now we have to figure out this stuff on our own. And freedom carries with it responsibility, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, and that is a scary thing.
It's a lot of that way in the institutional world as well, the guys that get out of prison. Have been told what to do, how to do it, when to do it for so long. And they can't wait to get out. And then the minute they're out, they're like,
Now what?
And maybe I better go back.
Yes, indeed.
Because I don't function well like this. And yeah, it's a lot of that. And then I think that's why gangs, clubs, etc., are prolific, especially now. There's a place where you belong, and some of it's true and some of it's not. There's, you know, a lie being told that tells a guy that he has to do whatever he has to do to be accepted in that club.
Right.
Just like we thought we needed to do certain things to be accepted by God. And I'm happy to be able to ride, to be able to know these guys, and to be free in Christ. And to me, that's the best of all worlds.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, this sense of belonging, or this need to belong, that's universal. Yeah. We all want to belong to something. We want to be a part of something that's bigger than us, bigger than ourselves. Once we get into a club and have that sense of belonging, boy, we're very loyal to it. We're very loyal to that group. And we want others to be as loyal to that group as we are. Mm-hmm. And so we demand that they behave appropriately and they do all the right things before they can have that sense of belonging.
Exactly.
And it's just the root of legalism, isn't it?
It sure is. You got to pay your dues.
That's right.
And we'll determine what those dues are and if you've paid them adequately.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
Subjective and crazy.
And with that, there's always this fear that they might reject me. Mm-hmm. If I don't mind my P's and Q's, if I don't follow all the rules and regulations, they may just oust me, and then I won't belong anymore, and then what's going to happen?
Right.
And that is scary. That is that fear, you know, it's this cycle, this legalistic mindset, this rules, these regulations. I'm going to follow them. I'm going to be successful. I'm going to earn my way into the club, and then I'm going to have to keep doing that to maintain my membership in the club, because if I don't, I could get ousted. That's fear. That's underneath all of that.
And pressure for.
Absolutely.
Starting to sound like a lot of churches.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why this gospel of grace is so vitally important, because it takes us out of that cycle. It replaces fear with faith. It gives us assurance, confidence that we belong, not on our merits, but on the merits of Christ Jesus, not because we've done anything good or bad. I mean, the only thing we really have to offer God is bad stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, there's really not one thing good that we can bring to the table. Christ brings everything good to the table. We either receive it or we don't. And when we do, we're joined to the body of Christ, and we truly belong with the security that that's true forever. I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry. So a lot of legalism, I think, comes out of that need to belong. And we look for ways that we can get connected with people. They're legalistic ways. We get connected. We let fear keep us there. And Jesus comes down and says, let me set you free. Let me give you a real sense of belonging. That's why I love, I think it's the second promise of this new covenant, that we all belong to God. In this new covenant, we all belong. We are the people of God. Not because of anything that we've done, but because of everything Jesus has done. Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name's Bob Christopher, Bob Davis, Richard Pfeiffer. Our special guest today, John Andrews, the outlaw preacher. He's written a couple of books. A third one is on its way. If you would like to read any of these books, we encourage you to visit his website at theoutlawpreacher.com, theoutlawpreacher.com. He has some free chapters that you can read, kind of get your feet wet. If you really like it, then you can order the book. He does a line of clothing as well. You can order T-shirts, all sorts of things. So take advantage of this. I think you will really enjoy it. I know, Richard, these books have been fascinating to you.
Yeah, John gave me one to start with, and I was busy and didn't get to it. And then I picked it up, and I couldn't put it down. And like he said, you know, you're writing yourself. And when I started reading some of this stuff and remembering the questions that I had to ask, and the questions I still ask, you know, it was so personal And it just flows. It literally just flows. And then the second book's even better than that. So, yeah, I highly recommend it.
Wait till you get a hold of this third
one. Well, it's theoutlawpreacher.com. We have a couple of callers on the line. So let's talk with Ron down in Temple, Texas, listening to us on the internet. Hi, Ron.
It's Ross. You got it wrong.
Okay. Well, nice to hear from you, Ross. How can we help you today?
Yeah, I had a question about Revelations 20 and 12. And it said, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Now, back then, when I was lost, I didn't really understand this passage, but now I do. And I just want to clarify, it's talking about when it says the dead, that means the people who has not accepted Christ's life, but they're still dead. And as far as the books, that's where they're going to be judged according to their works. And then there was, like I said, another book, which is the book of life, the people who has accepted Christ.
That's exactly right.
Uh-huh.
This is talking about the great white throne judgment. And only those that are lost are going to be judged at this great white throne judgment. And I think the key word there, and I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. Those of us who are in Christ, we're alive. We're not the dead. We are those who are alive in Christ. And the books that were opened, those were the books that I guess contained the records of the lost works. Those sort of things. Because when somebody's lost, they have to plead their case. They have to say, Lord, look at all these wonderful things that I did for you. I mean, just look at how wonderful I was. I mean, really, I'm a good person. And see what I did over here and see what I did over here. And God's going to listen to that, but ultimately he's going to bring them right back to the question of the rejection of Jesus Christ. What did you do with my son? And that is where the ultimate judgment comes in, because life is available in Christ. It's not available through good works. It's not available through anything that we can do. We were dead. Jesus had to save us by grace. And so this is what this passage is all about.
It's a gift, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, eternal life is a gift. It's not through by working for it, right?
That's exactly right. And that's the message. We think of the gospel more in terms of forgiveness. We've messed up a little bit. We need a little forgiveness of sins. But our need is much greater than that. We were dead spiritually. That is the consequence of sin. Adam, subjected all of humanity to death, to sin and death. And Jesus Christ rescues from that. His resurrected life saves us. And when we respond to that by faith, we go from death to life. That is the good news of the gospel. That's certainly the good news that John is carrying to those that he connects with. And John, we greatly appreciate the fact that you were on the program today.
I'm happy to be here. Enjoy the conference. Thank you.
Yes, indeed. Again, if you're interested in his books, theoutlawpreacher.com is the website. Check it out.
Absolutely. Well, friends, you know everyone's on a journey. Do you know where your journey is going to take you? Well, we invite you to take a journey to life and freedom, a journey that begins and ends with Jesus Christ. If you've been confused about the direction of your life, the truth in this message will give you a clear path and set you on an adventure of a lifetime. It's a CD message we call The Basic Gospel Journey, and you can begin yours by requesting your copy. It's yours for a gift of any amount when you visit realanswers.net. Just click the link right there on the homepage, or you can call and speak with Billy, our operator, at 1-800-727-2828. That's realanswers.net or by phone at 1-800-727-2828. People to people, we're excited to impact lives journeying together in the love and grace of Jesus Christ. Well, thanks for joining us, everyone, for this special edition of People to People, Now Becoming Basic Gospel. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, to address your questions by phone and email and take you into the Word of God for the answer to your question or for guidance to whatever life situation you may be facing. We'll be back Monday. Hope you'll join us then. Bye-bye.